This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Will Brinson, CBS senior writer, NFL writer, analyst, is going to join us on the phone. Will, welcome. How you doing, man?
Tiki, what's going on, buddy? Happy early Thanksgiving. Hope everything's going well.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully for you as well, and you're staying safe, you and family. And I know D-Cell, my producer, just asked you about this, but the NFL and the Washington football team and the lawsuit, yeah, how ugly is this going to potentially get with the minority owners trying to sue? We don't have any details on this yet. I just saw it pop up. But this thing is, I thought it was going to be like over and done with. This thing's going to go on for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like, I mean, I think basically what you're looking at is, a group of owners who either want to get out of their investment, which seems unlikely considering, you know, we're talking about a professional football team and how valuable they are,
right,
or they just want to get Dan Snyder out of there. I mean, I think that would probably be the more likely situation, right? They want to figure out a way to get Dan Snyder out. And when you start to see all these things leak and the way that different things were handled and how quickly Dan Snyder reacted to the name change, to changing the hierarchy and the power structure within the organization, things that he has actively refused to do for years now.
Yeah.
It lends to the belief that, you know, he understood who was making a power play and what they were trying to do. But you're talking about really powerful people. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
like billionaires, billionaires that have money and they don't want to mess up their money. And if you're messing up their money,
right,
they're going to mess you up.
Right. Yeah, you mess with a billionaire's money, or if billionaires see a chance to make more money by getting somebody cut out. I mean, that's just sort of a Game of Thrones high level power play situation. So I would anticipate that it probably gets pretty ugly because Dan Snyder has done enough, it feels like, at least from my perspective, to get the NFL off his back. Now,
yeah,
you can decide, you know, you can debate whether or not he's done it in genuine and heartfelt fashion and all of those things. But if he, you know, it's not really about that. It's about whether he's done enough to keep the NFL off his back and whether or not, you know. And then, you know, then he uses the question, like, if these minority owners, you know, like, sued their way and divesting themselves and getting cashed out of the business, would that then put Dan Snyder in a position of, you know, where he would lack the flexibility financially to buy them out? I mean, all of
That's
those things, you know, they may just be leveraging him against himself. Like, all right, dude, you want to own the team outright? Good luck with that. And then Dan Snyder has to find more business partners, et cetera. So I think I don't know the exact machinations of it. And like you said, it just happened. But when billionaires fight, things get ugly.
I tell you, man. Will Brinson, CBS NFL senior analyst, is joining us here. All right, that just popped up. Sorry I threw that on you, but want this to like go away in a sense because I think it's copacetic for the league, but it something percolates every 2 weeks or something around this team, but we'll keep an eye on that for sure. All right. The NFC East is I don't want to say it's a joke because there's some teams that are starting to play some really good football right now, including my New York Giants. But this is less about the Giants and it's about the team that's playing really bad football, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. So Carson Wentz has truly regressed as a quarterback. You see it. I mean, sometimes people just throw that out there. It's like, oh, he's regressing. Maybe he just had a bad game or two. It's like he's having a bad season, and I don't want to make an excuse, but Doug Peterson feels like he's making excuses for Carson Wentz. How does this end, or at least correct itself?
I don't know, Tiki. I mean, look, you go back to last year, and Carson Wentz wasn't fantastic either, but there was, you know, some positive signs in that he, you know, continued to make plays even when He's missing offensive linemen, and missing tons of weapons. He's throwing to Greg Ward at the end of last year, and then
that's
true.
He's Travis, a quarterback in college.
Yeah, he's an ex-Houston quarterback, right? And then like Travis Fulgham, who felt like a Madden generated name midway through the season. Both guys have actually been pretty decent, but you're right. It's tough to really evaluate Carson Wentz because you do have to give him a little bit of credit for the guys he's missing, but. My thing, I think the problem is that the Eagles, when they won that Super Bowl, suffered what a lot of championship teams do, and that's a brain drain.
Yeah.
Coaches get hired away. Didn't that happen with Steve Spags in New York when he left and took immediately. You win a championship and coaches are going to bounce. And we saw a bunch of coaches, Frank Reich notably, I think is the big one. And I sort of wonder if maybe Frank Reich having that intermediary between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz from a play calling and play construction angle the lack of that hadn't created some problems for the coach and his quarterback. And, part of the reason people always think about Nick Foles and Doug Peterson is working well together is because Foles is this rhythm passer who operates within the structure of an offense really well and needs to get going and needs that structure to get hot and to be streaky. Whereas Carson Wentz is very much a playground quarterback.
Yeah.
You think about some of the big plays he makes, it's always out of structure of the offense. It's way downfield when he breaks contain and he's bombing it to DeSean Jackson or Jalen Reagor. And I just sort of wonder if, is Doug Peterson's offense and the way he wants the offense to be run, is it cohesive with a quarterback who operates better out of structure?
Yeah.
And with all the injuries they've dealt with, is Carson Wentz going to learn how to operate in structure? Can Doug Peterson create a playbook that's more friendly to Carson Wentz? It feels like we're just at that point. And I don't know what the next step is, but I don't think they can continue the way that they are. I mean, maybe it's Jalen Hurts' time. I don't know. It's weird because they're 3-6-1. And leading the division, you bench the division leader. It's a tough spot.
No, it is a tough spot, especially come tomorrow after the Thursday night games or Thursday afternoon games, I should say, with the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys. Whoever wins that game's leading the division, at least temporarily, which is nuts. Will Brinson's joining us here, CBS senior NFL analyst. Another coach who I have so much respect for. He was my offensive coordinator for a couple of years with the New York Giants, is Sean Payton, and I was shocked when Taysom Hill was tasked to be under center last weekend. He had thrown 18 passes in his entire NFL career, in what, 5 years, whatever it was. But he gave him the reins, and he actually played pretty good football. I mean, yes, this is about Taysom Hill and his diversity and how hard he is to defend against because he's basically a linebacker playing running back with a quarterback number, But this is more important to Sean. Right. Do we give him enough credit for how good he is at what he does?
No, we don't. He doesn't get thrown around as Andy Reid's second to none in terms of offensive coaches and smart offensive minds, in my opinion. But Sean Payton is up there, too. And, you think about how close the Saints have been the last couple of years. Only one other team in the last, maybe ever actually, has lost three straight playoff games on last second at the end of the game, like walk off losses. And it's the Packers who had that NFC Championship game and all their different losses. I mean, the Saints have been just cursed in the postseason. And I guess my point is, what happens if they get a couple of the breaks? Does Sean Payton have two or three Super Bowls? I mean, he's so good offensively. He can work with any quarterback. He went 6-0. The last 2 years with backup quarterbacks. That's crazy.
It's
like Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill who are not, Teddy Bridgewater got $60 million because of Sean Payton. And so, yeah, I think Sean Payton has entered the realm of underrated just because of how talented he is from an offensive standpoint. And the way that he schemes things up, the way that he understands how to approach defenses, all of the ways that he puts his quarterbacks in different positions to win. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he, this week trotted out Jameis Winston on the second series.
Just to mess with everybody. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, he's crazy like that too. Like he's a very down to earth, entertaining, guy's guy. And yeah. I don't think people know that about him. He's a good dude. He's the type of guy you want to have beers with.
No, definitely. I've done that actually. Yeah. We met up, I don't know, 5 or 6 years after I retired. I was in Indianapolis. I think it was at the Final Four, and he was hanging out with Tony Romo. It was the weirdest, and Charles Barkley, by the way. So it was me,
me,
Sean Payton, Tony Romo, and Charles Barkley all hanging out. And I'm like, what in the heck is going on here? You can imagine how insane that was.
You could write a book about that night. I mean, that's a golf foursome you want to be involved in too, right?
You're right. Except by the end of the night, Charles was sitting on my lap, and I'm like, "How the heck did this happen?"
Will go to IR for that.
I know. Tell me about it. All right. So I read this story, SI story about Zach Taylor, and we know that the hope and the dreams of the franchise were on Joe Burrow and how well he was playing, but his knee really got jacked up, as we all saw and could have anticipated, and the reports proved to be true. But in the wake of that, there's some reports that Zach is the culture's bad and his leadership is bad and his coaches are yelling and cursing, and it feels like he's lost the locker room, even though he's only been there for a year and three quarters or so. Is he in trouble job-wise there? I know they have a history of holding on, but that was Marvin Lewis, and Marvin Lewis is like a hero, relatively speaking, in Cincinnati. But is he in trouble there?
I mean, I think it's definitely something to watch. And you're right, the Marvin Lewis thing certainly gives you pause about whether or not Zach Taylor would be in trouble. But Marvin Lewis, rebuilt the Bengals, and they were really, that sounds kind of stupid to say now, but they were going to playoffs every year, right? I mean, they were a good football team that had a ton of talent on defense, and were certainly more than productive on the offensive end. So I think it's Marvin Lewis a little underrated in terms of what he did in Cincinnati. Zach Taylor, I mean, for me, Tiki, the problem is that, when you're a head coach of a football team, you're not just charged with X's and O's and schematic planning and winning football games. You're also charged, you are the steward for the long-term health and growth of the organization. Yeah. And when a team takes a quarterback number one overall and puts him under your wing so you can develop him, and he appears very early on to be a high-caliber player, you probably shouldn't put him in positions where his health is going to be at risk. And, our colleague Amy Trask mentioned this on Tops, I think, earlier in the year, pointing out that, maybe the Bengals should sit Joe Burrow. I didn't agree with that particular stance, but I did kind of agree with the spirit of it, which is, hey, you're not winning football games. And this guy is out here extending plays, doing everything he can to win games. Had a little bit of Carson Wentz streak in him, like he doesn't know what's not good for him,
And that's right.
And their offensive line has just been terrible for the last few years, really ever since they let Andrew Whitworth leave in free agency and made some draft mistakes. And you're not doing him any favors by having him drop back 60 times in a game. And that's on Zach Taylor. I mean, that's the offense he's designing and the plays that he's calling and the way he's letting these games unfold. And I get that you're losing and you got to keep throwing, but at some point you have to do what's best for Joe Burrow, and taking that many shots is probably never going to be good for him. So I think the Bengals would be insane not to at least evaluate whether or not he's the guy moving forward, considering he's the guy who was coaching when Joe Burrow took that big shot and got hit that way.
Yeah, no, I agree. He might be a little bit too cocky for his positioning right now. Maybe he'll learn. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll get the chance. We shall see. Will, good stuff. Great stuff, as always. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving to you and your family. Be well and stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate you.
Hey, anytime, Tiki. Take care, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.